This is Authors in Focus.
Hi, I'm James Reed, a fantasy author publishing under JMD Reed. My newest fantasy series is going strong. Readers have enjoyed Diamond Stained, and now Oban and Envina are back for their next story. They have survived the chaos of Cash, and now they are venturing to the dark mysteries of the Ruby Runes. Diamond Stained and Ruby Runes are out on Amazon and free in Kindle Unlimited. Today, I'm joined by Kelly Blanchard. She's the best-selling author with a unique voice, blending fantasy and science fiction to create an exciting epic.
Let's welcome Kelly Blanchard to the podcast. How are you doing, Kelly?
I am doing all right. Thank you.
All right. I'd like to start things out with some fun questions. The first one I have, does pineapple belong on pizza?
No.
All right. That's the correct answer. So are you a cat person or a dog person?
I think I'm more of a cat person, but I had a Doberman who just died in March, and I absolutely loved her, and if I ever get another dog, it's going to be another Doberman. But I have two cats, so.
I'm sorry about your dog.
Oh, it's okay.
So if you could travel anywhere in the world, where would that be?
My first thought would be Sweden, just because I have family there that I've never met before, and I know it's beautiful there, so I would like to do that.
Yeah, that does sound nice. They have that gorgeous forest and mountains.
Yeah.
I bet it's beautiful there.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, let's get started with the actual questions. when did you know you wanted to be a writer, and what led to your first published work?
I know that I was always into stories, and I loved stories. And before I could actually write, I would draw, and I couldn't draw. I had to do stick people because I can't draw for the life of me. So I drew stick people and bubble dialogue because I just couldn't do anything else. I just had to have stories told. So my mom said that once I learned how to do proper paragraph structure and quotation marks, I just started writing. But I know when I was 12, I remember washing the dishes and looking outside the window and looking at this beautiful sunset. And it's like, you know what? I really want to become good at writing description because I know that's hard. So after that, I started making a habit of trying to describe something in a very showing manner. And that led to me starting to actually write every day and so on and so forth. And then next thing you know, I'm a non-published author. remember your second question.
Oh, well, I just want to say that's a really neat idea to just like practice describing stuff and getting better. See, that's something a lot of people need to learn about writing. It doesn't just come easy. It takes a lot of practice and work to get good prose.
Yeah, it really does. And that's something that I always tell people when they're like, I want to publish this book, and this is the first book I've ever written. I'm like, you have to kind of maybe learn how to do some of the stuff like dialogue and description and character development. It's kind of hard. So.
Yep. The second half of the question is, what led to your first published work?
Well, my first published work is actually not my fantasy book. It's a historical fiction novel that I wrote under a pen name. I wanted to publish something. I always loved writing and everything. I love fantasy and sci-fi, but honestly, my family wasn't very supportive of that. And they were very like, no, you have to write historical fiction, kind of like that. So I found a historical figure that was actually very fascinating. That is very fascinating. And I was like, you know what? Most people don't know about him. So I'm going to write his story just to introduce him to the world again. So I did that. And I had 3 books in the series. I had gone with the Vanity Press at that point, and it was so hard to work with them. So yeah. Obviously, I pulled out, and by that time, I already written the first two books of the Chronicles of Lorik, and I said, you know what? I don't care about this fantasy, this historical fiction. So I say, I want to focus on my fantasy and sci-fi. So I can't say what led to, you know, the publication of Etho, because I don't remember, it was so long ago. But I just know I finally wanted to get something published, so I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
I started actually reading your Chronicles of Lorik, and I found your beginning to be very intriguing. You start off with this short prologue that kind of shows off all your characters in this moment of friendship, and then you end it with some very foreboding language about how some will die and some are going to suffer. What led you to have such a foreshadowy opening to your series?
I don't know. I just wanted something different. And I wanted to show the readers that there was a time where everybody in, you know, there's all these major characters were friends. Because when you get to the book, you know, there's lots of, not so niceness. There's lots of harshness toward each other and judging and everything like that. But I wanted to show that there was a time when they got along quite well. And I wanted the readers to ask what happened to get from here to there, what happened. And then I wanted to show, you know, that's what the first book especially is, and so forth.
Yeah, always getting your readers to ask questions that they want answers to is a good technique, I've found. Keeps them interested, keeps them reading. So yeah, it definitely was intriguing. I definitely wanted to find out what was going to happen next. Anyways, your books are a hybrid of fantasy and science fiction. Can you talk a little bit about how that works?
Well, I don't know how it works for everybody else, but I know how it works for me. in the first several books, because we moved to other locations later on in the series, but in this first several books, we have a continent of kingdoms, and most of the kingdoms are medieval kind of setting, and they have magic and so forth. But there's one kingdom called Tacorum that is like high tech, like Star Wars high tech. It is super high tech with skyscrapers, flying cars, stuff like all of that. And it's what's interesting is that it lives in a world where most everything is mostly medieval, but this is the only kingdom like that. And I've been asked before, people are like, how did this high tech kingdom not conquer everything else around them? I'm like, don't worry, that's in a book, you'll find out. But it's fascinating because the characters will go from one kingdom to another, and they're not confused or in awe by everything they see, you know. It's just like, oh, okay, I gotta go just to Corm, you know, here we go, you know. But it's interesting, it's fascinating because in the books, basically, you get to see a full-on battle between the high-tech and the medieval kingdoms and, you know, what happens then. And so it's lots of fun to see how they can work together and work against each other and so forth. So it's a lot of fun to explore.
All right. That does sound... I'm looking forward to getting to that. I like good battle sequences in my fantasy.
Yeah, well, when you get to book two, that's something you really have to look forward to.
All right.
Yeah.
So, what do you find easier to write, the science fiction elements or the fantasy ones?
I have to say the fantasy, because one of the hardest things for me to write, I've discovered, is the science fiction space battle scenes. Because, you know, I can do a battle on the ground just fine, because I have proper formation, and you can only be on the ground, or maybe in the air if you have dragons. But when you're in space, you know, it's there's no, after initial formation of a, you know, troop approaching, everything is chaos. And it's 360 degrees, you get torn and everything, and it's really chaotic, and it's hard to keep track of what is going on in space. So that's the hardest part for me. But I always enjoy the fantasy side of things just because I really enjoy it. So.
All right, and why did you decide to combine the two?
I'm a huge Star Wars fan, and I've always liked, you know, the idea, something similar. But my historical fiction was based in the Crusades, so that was medieval. Okay. And so I already had researched what that kind of, you know, setting. So I was able to blend the two, and it was just easy to do, and it was so much fun because I wanted both, the best of both worlds. So.
No, I get that. Yeah. I'm definitely looking forward to see how these two different elements clash and interact. It's intriguing. So what are some of the influences that found your way into the Chronicles of Lorik, obviously besides Star Wars?
Later on in the series, I have a race that's actually, I kind of took inspiration from ant colonies and what they can do. Because sometimes they enslave another colony and so forth, and it's fascinating how they do it. So that was an interesting thing I took. I can't remember everything else because there's so many little things that come into play. So I can't remember every single detail right now, but yeah, it's fun.
All right. Yeah, that's you. Just got a pull from all over your own personal experiences and things you've read about when you're writing. It's an interesting experience sometimes where you draw things from and where you find your inspiration at.
Yeah, never know what's exactly.
Yep. So are there any themes in your work that you hope your readers will get out of the series?
Well, I know I ask a lot of questions that I leave up to the readers to answer. And I know especially later on in the series, you know, I guess you would say, like, you know, are people meant to die at a certain time and, like, there's nothing that can change that at all? And that's a question that comes up at times. And, you know, like, I guess you could say predestination, and, you know, can you fight destiny or, you know, or so forth.
Yeah, yeah. And those is your universe deterministic, or do your characters have free will?
Yeah.
Actions? Okay, yeah, that's great.
I mean,
stuff.
I like to start open discussions, and I like the characters to have their own viewpoints and argue with each other about things. But then awesome. I also like to show that just because the characters might disagree on, you know, fundamental worldview matters, that they can still work together. And it doesn't mean that they're on totally opposite sides. It just means, you know what, we don't agree on this point, but that's okay. We have another bigger issue to deal with right now. So I like to do that because I've never been a fan of people, you know, books that have a viewpoint and it's obvious they're trying to preach something.
That's the worst.
Yeah, so I'm just like, you know what? Here's an idea. Here's a question. Everybody in the story has a different viewpoint of it, and I'll just leave it up to everybody else to decide what they want to believe or think. So it's a lot of fun because I don't have to answer those questions, and I let the readers come to their own conclusions of what it is because I'm focusing on the actual plot of the story. So, you know, these things come up, but it's not the driving point of the story.
Okay. Okay. So how important is interaction with your readers to you?
Interaction with my readers is very important to me. I have a very active Facebook group, and I just sometimes my readers will message me on Facebook when they've gotten to a certain point in the books, and they would just rant because I killed one of their favorite characters or something, and I would just die laughing. And I have this Maleficent gif I always send. So
yeah.
It's a lot of fun. I enjoy it.
Yeah, I have a beta reader who's still angry at me for killing a certain Pegasus.
Yeah.
It's like I killed a bunch of, like, humans, but it's the Pegasus that you're upset about, right?
Yeah,
and
it's so
how do you enjoy engaging with your fans? I'm sorry, didn't step over you.
No, you're fine. I mainly enjoy engaging with them on Facebook because that's where I'm most active. I'm trying to get more active on Twitter and Instagram, but I can only manage one.
Yeah.
So I just know that I am always on Facebook, especially in my group. And, you know, so if anybody ever wanted to join that group, they could. And or if they find me on Facebook, you know, message my page or whatever, you know, I always get it and I see what happens and interact with people, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I bet it is. So you recently re-released your series with Fallbrandt Press. Mm-hmm. How did that come about?
Well, Fallbrandt Press approached me saying that they were interested in helping me with my series because, you know, I had published actually the entire series, and you know, I just sometimes, you know, I didn't have all the tools or knowledge when it comes to marketing, which is so hard to do.
Oh yeah.
And so they said, we'll handle this, so we'll help you with this, and it doesn't cost you anything. So, you know, do you want to? I'm like, okay, yeah, sure. So
to be doing well, right? Mm-hmm. I believe you hit like 8,000 in the store.
Yeah, the top 8,000, yeah, in ranking. I did that, and we're hoping to go higher than that once the actual marketing hits and wow, that's so awesome. Forth. So yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's been amazing to watch, you know, when the people who know what they're doing actually, you know, do it, and I'm like, okay, yeah. I don't have to do it. I don't have to worry about it. So.
Yeah, so that seems like a good reason why you went with a small press as opposed to trying it yourself.
Yeah, I mean, just doing it by myself. Yeah, I did it by myself for a while. And, you know, that's how I built my fan base for the most part before, Fallbrandt approached me. And, you know, it was just hard to just, you know, because you need to know how to do it and you need the money to do it. And it's just hard to make it all work. So when they offered to do that for me, I was like, you know what? I have nothing to lose. So, yeah.
So what is your favorite character from the series?
I laugh because they always change. I mean, I love Lorik because he can be so misunderstood, but he's so much fun to write. I love Vixen because she just wants to stab people whenever she just gets annoyed. But then there's a character later on in the series that you meet, much later on. His name is Elf. He's not an elf. He's a ball of energy that, imagine like the genie in Aladdin, you know, the one that Robert Williams did.
Yep.
Imagine like that, but just like electricity and so forth instead. So, his name is Elf. He's called Energy Life Form. And his personality is just so hilarious because he doesn't have a filter. He just goes. And he's not human. So he's quite young mentally. So he just goes, but he's a genius because he's part computer. And so he's hilarious too, right? I quite enjoy him because of what he can do. So but yeah, so that's a fun character. Right now I'm writing in the series my husband and I are writing right now, I have a character who does not think before he speaks at all, and that is just so much fun to write because I've never written a character like that, and it's so much fun because he might be thinking pineapples and somebody's talking about this whole battle happening and asks him a question, he'll go, pineapples, you know. Wait, what were you talking about? And all right. So it's so stupid but funny, so yeah, it's crazy.
So you're co-writing with your husband, how does that process work?
Well, we have written another series, it's all in my universe, and so we'd always wanted to write together because he's a writer, that's how we met. And so we decided to explore a different continent in my universe with other characters. And what happens is we discuss the story and figure out what needs to happen and what's the actual plot and so on and so forth. We figure out that before we actually do any writing.
Okay.
And then he gets a set of characters and I get a set of characters. And we sit down on my laptop, normally sitting next to each other if he's not at work. And I would open the scene most likely with one of my characters. And we know what has to happen in the scene. We know what the point of the scene is.
Okay.
And so but we don't know how it's going to happen. That's what we don't know. So I open the scene, and then my character approaches his character and says something, and then I give it to him, and then he types up the character's response, which I don't know what it's going to be. And then I get it, and I look at it, and my character reacts. So it goes back and forth like that, and we writes and writes. And sometimes when we're on a roll, we can write 10,000 words a day, and it's a lot of fun. Yeah, so that's how we do it. It's crazy fun. So.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I don't know if you've ever done like a live write on Facebook.
I've heard of them, but I've never actually done it.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. You write a couple paragraphs, and then they write a couple paragraphs, and you guys create a short story in an hour live on the internet. So it's, you kind of just are bouncing off each other. It's a really interesting experience. It sounds a bit like what you're describing.
That's interesting. I have to look into that.
Yeah, they're a lot of fun. So besides this series you're co-writing with your husband, are you working on anything else?
Not at the moment. I got lots of other projects I'm doing when it comes to, you know, my career, like trying to just figure out different things of social media and so forth. So, and I'm going to be moving to Florida soon. So I really want to be writing more, but, whenever I have, and most of my energy with writing just goes toward co-writing with my husband. So,
okay.
Yeah, but I have plans for more series after this. So it's, you know, I know what I'm going to be doing, but yeah.
Awesome. So is there an expected release date for this new series?
Not yet, because, okay. I mean, the one that he and I are working on is actually two series ahead of where I am publishing, because we already wrote a series, a 5-book series called A Sarah Lane Gambit.
Okay.
And that one should be, the first book of that one should be hopefully released by the end of this year or the beginning of next. And it's 5 books. And then after that, I have a solo series that I wrote. That's 3 books long. And then the series that he and I are writing then will be published after that. So.
All right. That sounds great. Got a lot for your fans to look forward to.
Oh, yeah. And every time I write a new series, I come up with a new series idea. And so I'm like, I'm not leaving my universe anytime soon.
Yeah. I built a fantasy world just for that sort of purpose, so I could just fill it with all sorts of different stories and just bounce around the world. And
some of my fans are like, have you ever thought about going, you know, doing a whole new universe? I was like, why? This universe is awesome, and I'm the only one that can write in it.
Yeah,
I have so much I want to do.
So, lastly, what advice could you offer to new writers or aspiring writers?
I think I mentioned this slightly a little earlier, which was when somebody wants to start writing, my first thing is don't try to publish that book. Don't worry about publishing that book. Focus on building the craft. And how do they actually write, you know, building their writing style and so forth, because focus on building how to craft description, dialogue, you know, how to do unique and intriguing characters and how to handle plots, you know, all those stuff that you need for a good solid story. Master those elements first. And once you have a good handle on that, then go ahead and write something that you want to publish. And sure, you might want to publish something you already wrote, but you might want to go back and rewrite it now that you know how to handle all that. So that's what I always tell, you know, people, because most people say, I want to write this book, I want to publish it. I'm like, have you written something before? No. I'm like, it's not that easy. So that's always my recommendation. Of course, they can do whatever they want. It's always up to them. But I just say, just don't worry about publishing first. Just write, enjoy writing, learn it, learn the craft, and then become confident in it, and then publish.
Yeah, that's some great advice. All right, Kelly, where can people find you?
Well, I am most active on Facebook in my group. It's called The Muses Realm, I think it's www.facebook.com/groups/musesrealm. And then I'm on, my page is Author Kelly Blanchard on Facebook. And I'm Kellanetta on Twitter and Instagram. And that is KellanNetta. And my website's the same, Kellanetta.com. So, that's how you can find me. But I'm most active in my group, and it's, you know, just so much fun. That's places. It's just a lot of fun.
All right, Kelly. It was great talking to you and getting to know you.
Well, thank you for having me. It was quite fun.
Yes, it was.
This has been Authors in Focus. You can find my fantasy novels on Amazon. Follow news of my writing at my blog, jmd-read.com, and follow me on Twitter at jmdread. You can also join my reader group on Facebook, Fantastical Worlds of the Imagination. You can find more episodes of the podcast at fantasy-focus.com and wherever your favorite podcast is hosted.